Hi, my name is Winfrey, and we are on the, I think it's called the Winfrey conference line, just because people know who I am, but really it's the Higher Vision conference line, and you people on this on BVS radio, we're simultaneously over our telephone line, and we'll tell you in just a moment a little more about what we're doing, but first let me check in all the people that are calling in over the phone line. My name is Lynn. I heard someone check in. Let's say your name and your city.
Samuel, Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, Samuel.
Hi.
And the last person I wrote down was Jackie in San Diego. Anyone else?
Gary and Marianne in San Diego.
Gary and Marianne. And my name is Lynn. I'd like to say your name and your city.
Yes, this is Bonnie from Quincy, Massachusetts.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Wynn.
And who else?
This is Roger from Detroit, Michigan.
Roger from Detroit.
Hi.
Roger, this is the first time you've checked in, yes?
Yes, it is.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
First time anyone from Detroit checked in. How did you hear about it?
When I saw you on that virtual light program.
I see.
And I went ahead and ordered the book, and I followed your instructions and got the, Suzanne sent me the number.
Oh.
And I had time tonight to call.
Fantastic. Well, thank
yeah.
you for being here. And this evening, we are simulcast on the streaming audio on the Internet, so don't say anything that you don't want the world to hear. My name is Lynn. Let's say your name and your city.
This is Kathy calling from Sacramento.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Nice to hear you.
Nice to be here.
Anyone else?
Hey, Wynn, this is Jeff in Northridge.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
That's Northridge, California, for those of you who are in New Zealand. my name is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city? You don't have to.
I'm sorry. I think I have a bad connection here. Let me try another phone.
Can you hear me?
Just slightly. Let me try another line.
Okay.
Okay. You there?
Yeah.
Okay. It's Marlene from New York.
Marlene. Hi, Marlene.
Hi. How are you?
Fine. Thank you.
Good.
Well, we have Roger, who's here for the first time, who heard us on virtual light worker or virtual light broadcasting, and we have people on BBS radio network that are listening, and this conference call,
what is that?
Now we have strange sounds. This conference call is an experiment that seems to be working, but just to give you an idea of the nature of the experiment, I'm the author of the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. I'd like to ask those of you on the line to press star 6, if you would.
Star 6. Am I?
And that will mute you, including you, Suzanne. Thank you. And of course, if you know who Edgar Cayce is, you know Edgar Cayce is the most famous and credible what's called a channel in the history of the Western world. And started writing the book, and I started to learn this, a cosmology of how things work on this planet from a cosmic perspective in a way that I never understood it before. And who was talking through this person who was the alleged reincarnation, David Wilcock, identified itself as a group soul. And a group soul was composed of individual souls that had graduated from our realm. If you're familiar with the term getting off the wheel of reincarnation, this was made up of millions or billions of individual entities that had gone through physical embodiment like ours, not just on our planet, but on planets all through the solar system and all through the universe, and that when they graduated, one of the places to go when you graduate is to join a group soul and then help planets at lower levels of evolution. And this was, if I have it correct, this is who was speaking through Edgar Cayce and now through David Wilcock. And then 2 years into my working on the book, authoring it, I got contacted directly through two personal relationships in a row by the other group soul, which identified itself as the Council of Elohim. And actually, both group souls ended up speaking to me. And I had the opportunity to ask many, many questions about this period we're in, which was explained to be a dimensional shift, the end of a 75,000-year cycle, and it had to do with the Earth, the consciousness of the Earth lifting from third chakra to fourth chakra, and that there was going to be a splitting of souls, those that would graduate from this realm and those that would have to be cycle repeaters and repeat this realm, and that the cycle repeaters would end up not being able to incarnate back on Earth because Earth was going to lift its vibration, and they would end up on another planet in another star system to start over. And these two group souls are part of the administrative process for all of this, and they were trying to explain to us in some kind of credible way that we might take it seriously. Now, I have to say that I didn't take it I took it seriously, but I said, how do I know this is true? And if you're hearing this for the first time, I hope you'll say the same thing. You'll say, how do I know this is true, and how do I know that it works this way, and how do I know that Wynn's talking to this group soul, and how do I know that David Wilcock was talking to this group soul, and how do I know he's a reincarnation of Edgar Cayce? And you should ask those questions, because if you don't, you're just going to be a blind believer. And if you're asking those questions, and you want to know more, I suggest you read the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, which is available everywhere. Visit my website, higher-vision.org, where there's a lot of free information there, including some channeling. And on this particular call that we're doing, which has been going on for over a year now, keeping in mind that I was in communication with these groups, in discussing how they interacted with our realm, obviously they can talk to people in this process called channeling, but they also can come into this realm as light energy, intelligent light energy. And they can do things here. They can do healings. They can work with people. People can connect with them. People can feel their presence. And so I asked them, I said, if we do a conference call and I invite people to come, would you be on the line energetically and pay attention to the people on the line? And they said they would. And so this was my experiment. I said, well, let's see what happens. And so I would give talks about my book, and I would tell people individually, please check out my conference call. I was doing this for about a year, and there's been a lot of really amazing, phenomenal things that happened on this call, including healings, including personal transformations, including people connecting with energies from higher places, or at least they think they are, and I think the evidence shows that they are, but it's something you have to pay attention to for a while. There's a lot of wisdom, because on the Monday nights, we're having some kind, we're either reading a channeling, playing a channeling, or at rare times, at certain times, we've had a live channeling, and that I'm the moderator on Monday, and then Tuesday through Sunday, we have a conference call every night, not live on BBS, but over the telephone. And if anyone is interested in getting the telephone number, it's not a secret, but you have to ask for it, because we just sell the phone out.
Clearly.
So if you're interested in the phone number and the schedule, please email suzanne@dimensional-shift.org. So what's happening is these group souls are here on the line. And those people who have been on the line have noticed something. They've noticed the energy. And those of you who are new, just I invite you to be neutral, not to believe anything, not to not believe it, just see how you feel. Because if the picture is right, they're beaming, they're looking at you right now. They're open to connect with you. They're open to bring energy into your space. And if that idea doesn't scare you, and if you trust the intent of what's happening, you may notice a shift. Now, the best way to trust the intent is for you to hear the actual words of one of these group souls speaking. And that's what we do on the call. So this evening, I'm going to play a portion of a actual channeling by David Wilcock, who, if I'm correct, is the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And this is one that David produced with his own music in the background, and it's called What's My Purpose? So as you listen to the words, listen, feel the energy, and here it goes. I am Ra. It is an honor and a privilege to greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. As is always the case with the information we would provide, we ask that you exercise your own discernment, such that if any words you hear disagree with what feels right to you, that you simply cast them aside as lacking relevance on your path at this time. Not wish to establish ourselves as an authority that is higher than your own internal spark of the divine. We merely intend to offer what hopefully constitutes a renewed perspective on an age-old theme. Life, in its many apparent failures and complexities, can have shades and nuances of meaning that are not immediately clear and discernible upon conscious analysis. There are times in your life when you have felt intense pain, intense sorrow, and an intense sense of longingness for what appears to be an absent creator. Since you are one of those who has now gravitated towards this type of material, you are probably beginning to ask yourself some new questions. Who really am I? And what is it that I am doing here? The old rules, the rules that you were taught by your parents, teachers, educational leaders, government leaders, and media figures, would have you believe that your purpose in life relatively straightforward. The one known as Charles Darwin posited a model of evolution wherein
are certainly aware that these Darwinian underpinnings of conscious thought still manifest quite deliberately in the means through which human consciousness seeks its fulfillment in the physical plane, at least in so far as your leaders would have you believe. Therefore, many in your society are held up to a quasi-godlike status for the fact that they are the fittest, so to speak. Certainly, one aspect of this is a fit physical body, the worship of male and female models, and the so-called perfected human form. But of course, this most efficient or most fit organism is also that organism that accumulates the greatest degree of money and power. Hence, there are some in your power structures who feel that they are on the front lines of human evolution for the very fact that they are, in the Darwinian model of thinking, the fittest. The training, as many of you are already aware, that you have experienced from the media, teaches each entity to seek these figures of apparent power in their own struggle for deeper fitness, for deeper fulfillment. For many of you, if you are to truly get honest with yourself, you will find somewhere in there that a part of yourself still wants these things and believes that your life would be far more fulfilling with them. The entity David has coined the phrase Elvis Maryland syndrome in a description of the inevitable end result of these pursuits. For the ones known as Elvis and Maryland are obviously two entities from your 20th century most easily recognizable by their first names alone. In both cases, they were considered very physically attractive by the others on your plane. In both cases, they demonstrated talents in more than one area. In both cases, they accumulated massive public exposure and massive physical wealth. Also, in both cases, they ended up dying from drug overdoses, broken hearts, and misery in their minds. This is what happened to those two who were the most fit in the Darwinian model, as seen by your people. This is the conclusion of one who searches for their sense of purpose and fulfillment from the material path, the path of materialism, so to speak. It is safe to say that you are well beyond this point if you have demonstrated an interest in hearing these words. It is safe to say that you have started to think outside the box, so to speak, that you have begun to consider your life as more than just a physical body that is here to procreate and consume. It is wise for you to be asking this question, title of this recording, what is my purpose? For we find all too often that those of your plane are content with the same old answers purpose truly is to survive. For those who would act as tokens of the achievement of victory in the physical plane, such as your movie stars, represent unwinnable ideals, ideals of success, ideals of glory, and ideals of fame. Many of you are probably familiar with scientific studies conducted by your people, which show time and again those who have won large victories in your lottery game end up more depressed and miserable after having won than they were before they knew they had won. Time and again, it has been shown that those with the largest amounts of money have many of the same psychological issues as those with the least amount of money. The entity David personally had a series of clients, two clients on a Saturday. The first client was living in a trailer park on less than $15,000 a year. The second client was living in a palace, a mansion in New Jersey, and had an estate worth over $150 million. Both entities energetically sounded the same on the telephone, to the point that David had difficulty telling their issues apart. Such was the similarity. Either extreme causes unforeseeable complications. Therefore, we would humbly ask that you look in your heart for that part of you that is seeking this profit, this fame and notoriety, and ask yourself a very basic question. Exactly what is it that I am seeking? What do I want, really? Eventually, if you seek long enough, you may discover an answer similar to what Elvis and Marilyn had discovered, that you want to be happy. But you see, Elvis and Marilyn ended up going to chemical dependency as a means of artificially producing the happiness that all the money, power, and fame in the world could not produce. You remember the stories of Elvis giving away beautiful cars to strangers, and the stories of how many men were infatuated with Marilyn to the point that she literally could have had any man she wanted. And yet, with all of that, the misery, the deep, unrelenting misery. Now granted, these entities had opportunities to feel senses of self-satisfaction that are greater in some ways than most others could ever achieve on Earth. There is, on one level, a very real satisfaction spending lots of money, with standing on a stage in front of thousands upon thousands of admirers. But that level of satisfaction is fleeting. It is not sustainable for anyone, ever. Women who have oriented their lives around the way that they look will inevitably be faced with the challenges. How that aging modifies their appearance. Eventually, these forms of seeking, the seeking of the gratification from the material world, must fall away. Of course, are many who would say, well, this is true. If it is true that when I get to that point I will be unhappy, then I would at least like to go through the motions, know what it's like to be unhappy that way. This is a valid question. It is a valid desire. But the status of evidence shows that you cannot stop yourself from getting old. You cannot stop your body from gradually decomposing. And you cannot sustain a level of wealth and power and fame indefinitely at the levels that we are describing herein. So you see, there is a deep hollowness inside the wishes that so many have in their hearts that they were trained to have by television and media. There is a hollowness that is never truly considered. For there is actually something deeper than the money, the power, and the fame. There is something deeper that is being sought. As we said, on the surface, desire to be happy. But that is just the surface. For drugs can make you feel happy. But that path also is one that inevitably leads to misery, to disease, institutions, and ultimately death. Again, this is not to indicate that if one were to get intoxicated, that invalidates you as a spiritual being. What this does mean, however, is that if your sole source of happiness is from chemicals, there is a very deep dilemma in your soul. There is something there that you are not wishing to face, something you are always trying to keep one step ahead of by perpetually encircling your head in a fog of clouds, so to speak. There is nothing wrong with having these experiences. There is nothing wrong with experiencing that which you desire, so long as it does not inflict harm upon others. If you can preserve free will, still pursue that which you desire, then it is a valid pursuit, and that level of evolution that we are speaking of. The greater purpose of pursuing that which you desire is to experience enough of it that you have now figured out why you were wanting it in the first place. In so doing, you can arrive at deeper layers of understanding. It is for this very reason, as was indicated in the Law of One series, that it is unwise to attempt to overcome a particular desire. And if the exercising of said desire would infringe upon another's free will, we would simply advise that you exercise the faculty of imagination and fantasy. Therefore, if you are angry at someone and you wish to inflict harm upon them, rather than stopping the emotion, which can cause such things as cancer, and rather than lashing out at the person with some form of physical or verbal attack, simply run through your mind what you are genuinely feeling. Allow those emotions to rise to the surface, which may include having hormonal secretions of norepinephrine or adrenaline, which would cause you to perspire and even shake all over your body. The purpose of this exercise, again, is to be very clear with your emotions. For the path of the materialist is a path that attempts to sidestep dealing with many of these difficult emotions. You have experienced this yourself in purchasing something, in winning something, in achieving recognition. You have a temporary sense that all is well, that all the things you were angry about can just dissipate and side, and that you are welcome in the eyes of others, and ultimately in the eyes of the Creator. For this is where we begin to extend this reading into a deeper layer of the puzzle that is under investigation. This is where we begin to understand that you are coming out of an animal kingdom into humanity. And there are many holdovers of this animal kingdom that continue in your mind. And thus, some part of you still feels as if the group mind is the will of the Creator. For this is how the animal kingdom must function. The animal kingdom requires a collective consciousness as a form of instinctual behavior to guide, to nourish those developing souls until they can individuate and become self-aware, self-conscious in their own right. Prior to the point of individuation, these entities rely on a consciousness that is shared amongst the whole. Thus, many of your peoples are aware of certain studies, such as the famous Hundredth Monkey Effect, wherein macaque monkeys, isolated on a variety of islands, are presented with certain tasks, such as being given handfuls of dirty rice. And when one monkey learns to wash the rice and get the dirt out, that monkey has a meal. Perhaps 10 monkeys learn this. But when a critical threshold is reached, in this case 100 monkeys, then quite spontaneously, all the monkeys on all the islands will very naturally pick up handfuls of this dirty rice, go to the nearest tree, and rinse them clean to have a nice tasty meal. No thought is required within that one monkey. For as a group, they have now shared a piece of consciousness. It is in much the same fashion that you see flocks of birds or schools of fish making spontaneous and instantaneous changes in their course and movement all at once. There is no difference in the timing between the ones at the front and the ones at the back, for this is seen in its purest form as being a collective consciousness. One known as Rupert Sheldrake has written about these so-called morphogenetic fields. And this is one form in which that of which we are speaking can be studied. Recognize that to the animal mind, the instinctive consciousness of the group mind is the will of the Creator. If one of those monkeys washes the rice clean, and it becomes a successful modality for survival, then that discovery has become the word of the Creator. Similarly, the individuation process requires one to become self-aware, to be able to make decisions based on one's own discernment without using the collective consciousness of the others as a reference point. Certainly may be used as a guideline, but it should never be enshrined as the will of the Creator. You may still be wondering if the question that is the title of this CD will ever be answered. This material that we are giving you constitutes an essential framework to lead to the basis for understanding the answer to this question. For when many ask, "What is my purpose?" they are using that reference point, which is the holdover from the animal kingdom and its inheritance. They are considering the will of humanity, the will that is spoken from media, from teachers, from institutions, from government, from parents, etc., as the time in your history known as the Reformation, headed by one known as Martin Luther, did represent a stage of definitive progress in human consciousness. But there is still much more progress left to be made, as David has often written of. The word they holds incredible power in the subconscious mind of humanity. So many of your people would devote the word they to such high ideals when discussing something such as a scientific discovery. One common example would be, quote, did you know that they discovered that if you eat an apple a day, it keeps the doctor away, end quote. Though this is a rather silly example, it underlines the fact that the term they is subconsciously superimposed over the notion of the Creator. It is that holdover from the animal kingdom that we were speaking of. So to understand the question, what is my purpose, we must first understand that many human beings are still clinging to the answers from the animal kingdom to this question in their subconscious minds. And thus, a part of you does think that your purpose is to breed, to procreate, to reproduce, as this, of course, is an essential aspect of survival in the animal kingdom. Some part of you must feel that you must have the best food possible, and thus you may have a weight problem. For many of you inside are feeling that your purpose is to eat as much and as deliciously as you desire. Many of you have been led into hedonistic thoughts, thoughts where the seeking of pleasure is the highest purpose that you have espoused to in your life. We would ask that you not be so quick in brushing off this perspective, for there are many who use their careers and their jobs as a means to an end. They are not truly happy at those jobs or careers, but simply await that time where they can break away, perhaps using chemical intoxicants or indulging in other forms of escapist behavior. And it is only then they are truly feeling happy, or so they are led to believe by their own senses. This is why many of your people, if they were to win the lottery, would end up spending lots of money and then doing absolutely nothing with themselves, but staying at home all day, sitting in a chair with a remote control, watching television with endless and listless boredom. And even if they were to travel, spend their money in that way, they would become so fatigued that they would rather just stay home. Perhaps you are now familiar with the spiritual teachings, such as those on David's website, and from the L&L Research Company. Perhaps you are becoming aware that your solar system is undergoing an interplanetary climate change at this time. The planets themselves, scientifically speaking, are becoming brighter, are becoming denser in their atmospheres, are experiencing increase in the strength of their magnetic fields, increases in severity of their weather activities, and even slight increases in their gravitational constant, the strength of gravity therein. These changes are also happening to you. You are also part of the solar system. You are a part of the mind of the galaxy. You are, in fact, the one infinite creator in a temporary human form. You may have wondered about the alleged extraterrestrial presence on Earth, part gravitational constant, the strength of gravity therein. These changes are also happening to you. You are also part of the solar system. You are a part of the mind of the galaxy. You are, in fact, the one infinite creator in a temporary human form. You may have wondered about the alleged extraterrestrial presence on Earth. You may have wondered about the elusive data concerning the year 2012. Prophecies of a golden age that is coming, which some would choose to interpret as mass catastrophe. You may well have wondered why that yearning in your heart still beats. Why sex with someone seems good at first, but inevitably leads to bickering and despair. Why the very things that you have held most dear seem to have been taken away from you. Why you seem to keep grasping and grasping and grasping and grasping. What it is you seek seems to move farther and farther away from you the more you struggle for it. You may well want to know, what is my purpose? This question may have become the defining goal in your life. Seek the answer. For your own spiritual consciousness to be yearning for something. You have now become aware that you are not experiencing the convenient little 1950s white picket fence world that your media has taught you to believe is the only reality. Synchronicity started to happen to you in whatever way it is coming. More and more, you are seeing between the cracks, seeing something that seems that no one else has seen. You may feel very alone in realization. You may feel that it is only you who is going through such an enlightenment process. We find that there are so many experiencing this at this time. They have not yet found a unified voice simply because your media structures are still holding on to the old ways held over from the animal kingdom. The animal kingdom exists in constant fear of annihilation. Omnipresent alpha male leader to protect and to serve. Those who wield the incredible power of the word they wish to step into those roles to which they can exact the greatest power and earn the greatest trust. Again, the focus at this time is in the decentralizing of this word they. Thus, it is not likely for you expect that you will be running out into the streets and expecting everyone to be talking about these concepts. It is, however, the case that there are many more than you would ever believe possible who are thinking like you are, expanding their minds, sharing their ideas with so many others for the first time. Synchronicity has taught you that there is more to life than your physical body. There may well be higher dimensions, just as your mathematicians prove. And it may well be that karma is real, that when you do something that is helpful, something positive will happen to you. And when you do something that is hurtful, balancing actions are created in your life. There is a karmic blowback effect, so to speak. These are accurate. And thus, for some, what is my purpose as a question becomes one that is rooted in fear and a desire to avoid divine punishment, a desire to clear one's karma, and a desire to escape the mill of reincarnation, a desire to achieve true enlightenment. The question is one that only you can answer. We cannot tell you what your purpose is. However, there are some very clear guidelines. The old hold-up.
Okay, that's about 33 minutes of what's my purpose. And who is speaking there is David Wilcock, and he's channeling a group soul, or what's identified themselves as a group soul, by the name of Ra. And if you've not ever been exposed to the idea of a group soul, we're talking about millions of individual souls that act as a conglomerate in higher dimensions from our dimension and can actually blend with us, what's called our high self. And although we may not have the senses to physically see what's going on, those of us who are more sensitive or who develop that sensitivity can realize that connection. We all do realize what blending means. We all have had experiences of being in a room, in a concert, making love, where you feel an energy of connection with those people around you. You feel an unspoken empathy and rapport. And you can look in the eyes and you know they're feeling it also. That's called a group energy. Now, on this line, on this conference line, we're creating a group energy amongst those who participate. And of course, this is free will. So if you're here for the first time or listening for the first time, you may or may not choose to allow this to occur. This is based on A, your desire to allow it to occur, B, your ability to let go of your conscious mind and your thinking and your analysis so that you can open to the experience and see the levels of distortion in your own body system which might block this experience. For example, if you happen to be carrying a huge amount of trauma from your past lives or this life, or a huge amount of sadness or separation, you may have a harder time feeling this experience because you're feeling the experience of that separation. So what we do is we create a group energy and we invoke those group energies of these group souls who have identified themselves by the name Ra and the Elohim. And we do a healing for our planet. And we're going to ask everyone to share that. And then we go around to each person. For those of you that are listening on DBS, this is actually being done live on a phone conference line. And the people on the phone conference line will be putting different circumstances and situations in the light. Now, we may not have time for you folks to hear that. We'll continue after the call discontinues on BBS. But we do these calls 7 nights a week. The ones Wednesday through Sunday are just kind of, we don't have so much talking or channeling. We just do a group energy, kind of a group prayer. You're all welcome to share that. You can send email to BBS and they'll tell you. It'll be forwarded to me, and I'll let you know how to do it. So, getting close to closing for the BBS people, we're going to call in the light. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line.
This line is now muted.
To this broadcast over the internet. We ask that any negativity be released into the higher realms of light and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy, the Hunabku, through our solar system, through the outer energies of our planet, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And we who are on this line, and those of you who are listening, may feel this energy, and you can now radiate it
everyone else that's on the line, all over the United States and perhaps over the world. And for a moment, we are going to create a group energy. And we're going to invite those group souls that have identified themselves as the Elohim and Ra, and all other celestial beings who are service to others, operating in the Christed energy, to join with our group energy. And for a moment, we have this great energy blended together, and we want to extend this energy to our planet, to places that need healing. And right now, I'd like to send it to that University of Virginia that had that slaying today. And I'd like to send that energy to those souls who lost their lives today, to those who are still in fear and trauma in that area. I'd like to send this light to the Middle East. I'd like to send it to those world leaders in the Middle East who, to the compassionate side, that they might make decisions based on compassion. I'd like to send it to Washington, D.C. I'd like to send it to our leaders, to our House of Representatives, to our House of Congress, to our White House, to our Supreme Court. I'd like to send this light in particular to our Earth with gratitude. And I'd like to send this light to all those here on the planet that are reaching for something higher, that are caught in the mixed messages of fear that is so easy to become prevalent on this level. And then they might reach and find these vibrations of love, know that it is real, that life does go on, the temporary visit to planet Earth. On that note, I'd like to tell visitors to DBS that they can learn more about this on the website higher-vision.org, higher-vision.org. There's the story there. There's many things there about my own personal experience, about the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. That was David Wilcock, who the book was written about, who's my co-author in the book, speaking in that channel.
This line is now unmuted.
Here next week. These Monday events are different. Every Monday there's a different format. But there's always wonderfully valuable information about this dimensional shift, plus the opportunity to share this energy of communion that is on the line. On that note, I'm going to go through what we do is we go through each person, and you folks that are on BBS can hear how this starts, and go through each person, and they get a chance to put something in the light. Many people have put healing circumstances in the light and have had really amazing results. So those of you who are not on the line, just take a moment and visualize anyone who needs healing in your own personal sphere. And we ask for the highest good those group souls might help and work with them. And do we have Terry on the line?
Yes, I'm here on the line. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Do you have something you'd like to put in the light?
I'd like to put everyone in the line in the light. And I would like to put everyone on the planet who is reaching out for help and guidance in the light. Amen.
Thank you. And Claudia, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Wynn. I would like to put everybody on the line and my entire family. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we're off of BBS right now. Suzanne, are you on? Are we off of BBS?
Yes, I don't know. Don has not said anything.
Okay. Well, we'll just keep going if we're on or off. Okay, 443-21, we already said goodbye to you all, so thank you for being here. We'll see you next week. God bless you. And we'll go on with...